My name is Pedro Fernandez. We take it to, I believe, to Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and bring in the champion of trainers. I mean, this guy really hasn't lost too many big fights. Straight up, I'm talking about AA Alex Ariza. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good, brother. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. This has been a long time in the making. So tell me about your background. Where were you born? Who are you? Who's Alex Ariza?
It's not that exciting, unfortunately. I was born in Colombia, South America. My family migrated here to the States, and I got into sports when I was younger in Colombia. My father took me to a boxing club because, you know, we're not a very big family. So, you know, especially over there, you know, we had to, you know, be able to defend ourselves. So, but we moved over here. We migrated over here to the States. Was able to being fortunate to get an education over here and follow actually a real dream that I've always wanted to be in, but I was never skilled enough to pursue being a fighter. Okay. I mean, more brains than brawn.
And for the most part, I think that's worked out well. You know, my favorite place in the entire world is Cali, Colombia. Don King turned me on to Bogota. And went to Bogota one time, and they said to me, this really isn't a place to kick it. I said, what do you mean? They go, you're going to kick it for a week in Colombia. Go kick it in Cali. So I went to Cali.
You got to go to Cali. You got to go to Cartagena. You got to go,
Yeah, I know. I've been around.
We have beaches, too, despite what the news always puts out about us over there. But it's a beautiful place, beautiful people. I think my only regret ever is not being able to train a Colombian fighter, but you know, I've been so fortunate and blessed to work with, you know, like I said, I always feel like lightning has struck twice when I got to work with Manny and I got to work with Mayweather right after, and you know, going all the way back into the late 90s when I had, you know, back in those days when it was Diego Corrales I had, and Eric Morales and Cesar Bazan and Jose Luis Castillo. I mean, that's a long time ago. A lot of people don't remember those fighters, but those were some really, really exceptional athletes and fighters.
Okay,
so
first question. You brought up Diego Corrales. Was that suicide or was he just drunk and it was an accident?
It's an accident. You know, Diego was. I mean, to explain how that guy, you know, he was my first fighter when I first got out of school and started working. And Diego was, he had his vices and things like that. I just think it was if you ride motorcycles and you're familiar with them, like I am, and you know, riding a Hayabusa 1100, I mean, that's a real serious bike for a guy who's never ridden a bike. And I just think that, you know, sometimes you don't realize that when you're on a motorcycle versus a car, you know, the distances close really, really fast when you're driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just a really unfortunate accident. And like a little twib note, you know, he had just separated from his wife. We were talking again about going back down to 140, and 2 weeks later that happened, so...
You know, I was with him as an amateur, and then we were tight, and then, of course, he got into the domestic violence thing with the old lady, and that sort of soured our relationship. And then we got back together, and we were rocking and rolling, and he was doing okay. And then, of course, they pushed him. I think they pushed him into that second Ramirez. Who was
Castillo.
They pushed him into that second Castillo fight way, way, way too soon. He was taking contact sparring like 74 days after the fight.
You know, that's what I always say is like sometimes, you know, this sport has to evolve just like everything else around us has, like, you know, MMA. You know, I worked with Andre Arlovski for 4 years. And you know, we try not to, you know, you're doing so much training and then the sparring. By the time you get to fight, you left it all in training. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, doing 150 rounds of sparring in, you know, 8 weeks. It's just, I think it's just too much. But, you know, we all, have our opinions on it.
You know, now that I look back on it, I used to go 5 rounds for an amateur career. And as if I had to do it all over again, though, I think I would have concentrated on 3 3-minute sprints. I mean, actually, 3-minute boxing sprints.
Exactly. You know, I think, you know, you have to remember, it's the same thing as, like, let's say a long-distance runner that's got to do, a 26-mile thing. But he never touches 26 miles. He does intermittent, 10 miles one day, 5, 15, but he never gets there. So I think that when you over spar a fighter and you're touching 12 rounds, 10 rounds, I mean, if he can fight a good, solid, active 9 rounds, you don't need to do 12. Because if he can do 9 solid, then you know he can do 12. So there's no reason to constantly, put that kind of pressure on him to fight 12, because by the time the fight comes, man, you're kind of burnt out.
Well, that's why, I herald the 12-round title fight over the 15-round title fight, because I knew guys that went through that 15-round era. And with the exception of Roberto Duran and Ray Leonard and maybe Tommy Hearns, most of those guys got really damaged.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, they burn. You burn yourself out. You have to remember, it's like any other sport. There has to be a balance. And I understand that, strength and conditioning and boxing is still kind of a taboo kind of. But, you've been hitting a heavy bag. You've been hitting mitts since you were 8 years old. So you want to start focusing on the other side of the pie. Become a stronger swimmer. Become a stronger sprinter. Become a stronger strength. Do your strength training, and when you culminate all of those things, it makes you a better boxer, because your confidence is always going to be higher, and because you're not afraid, you don't have that mental block of being tired. So usually, fortunately for me, I've always had fighters that had that mental block and be able to, and like when Maidana fought Broner. Nobody expected Maidana to do something like that. Or let's just take, for instance, when Maidana fought Mayweather. I mean, how does one guy throw 1,000 punches and the other guy throws 300 and 300 plus, and you land more, and you lose a fight like that? It's probably, to me, it was a win, because Mayweather has never been hit like that in his whole career. Mm-hmm. And that's why he hurry up and got a rematch with him. But same thing with Castillo. But we just didn't get the nod that night. But as a fighter, I think he won.
Okay, why was Corrales rushed into the Castillo rematch? Did Gary Shaw do that?
Yeah, money. It's money,
Wow.
Because the first one was so exciting, so explosive, so
damaging.
Yeah. So you expect the next one will be equally, but the fact of the matter is that Castillo, unfortunately, I know Castillo on a personal level because he was Manny's sparring partner, but it's like you said, we don't have the things that you guys are afforded. We don't have nutritionists. We don't have cooks. We don't have that. We don't do our body index every Sunday to find out where we're going. You just go old school, and when you have promoters and managers like they do over there, like with they don't look out for the best interest of their fighters. They're just, it's like a dog race. Once the dog is done running, you throw it away and you collect on the next one.
Okay, I got some questions coming in here from we're talking about Alex Ariz. I call him the superstar as far as trainers are concerned, because the guy's got an absolutely phenomenal record, one that will get him eventually in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. What does he recommend as a minimum amount of weeks of proper nutrition before a fight?
Please. What do I recommend? This has always been, from the very beginning, like 12 years ago, when I first got Manny, I had my dietitian was Terry Tom. She's been amazing. She's been with every fighter. From boxing to when I was training Andrew Bynum from the Lakers, Serena Williams. I mean, all these, that is the most important integral part of your program, because unless you know at the end of every week where you are and what you've done and how your body's reacting, and you're able to look at the notes, what did he eat on this day, what did he eat on sparring day, and you can get a sense of at least you get a blueprint of what you're going to do come fight week. So your diet and your nutrition and finding somebody who's going to sit there and do your fat to muscle index. Because if you don't do those things, you're walking blind. I don't know how much calories to give you on this day. I don't know how many calories to give you on that day. So I have to be thorough because your numbers don't lie. And if your numbers are looking good and you're training right, then you know you're going in the right direction. But if they're not, then you know you got to start switching things up, and you have to have a very educated, credentialed crew to sit there and troubleshoot these things. Because, you know, if we're known for anything else, we want all our fighters to have an exceptional amount of volume punching and just go, 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 you know. Lots of punches create opportunities, and opportunities create knockouts. And if you're throwing 60, 70 punches around, you know, there's no reason why these fights should go 12 rounds.
Okay. How close in weight do you want a fighter like a week before a fight?
You know, this, I know this is really controversial, but the way we do it is very different. I like my fighter to fight or to be prepared through the whole camp at the weight he feels comfortable at. So let's just say you have a 147-pounder and he feels amazing at 160. So at that time, or 165. So at that point, my job is to sit there and get the maximum optimal performance that I can out of him. And then I wait until Black Thursday. I make a weight cut. But because he was always fighting and at his optimal weight and was able to eat and rest, his body's going to bounce back very quickly. Okay. So I only cut weight on Thursday nights. And because of the way that we do, the system that we do leading up to it, it's always going to be hard. Cutting weight is always going to be hard. But we're able to bounce back, recover, and be able to produce what we had 2 weeks ago. Because you remember, you're only as good as you were 14 to 21 days out.
You know, I'm laughing.
You follow me?
Yeah, I do, without a doubt. I'm laughing because I'm thinking diet, and back in the day when my mother used to serve broccoli spears covered with spaghetti sauce, and then, of course, when I was, like, drying out the last day, she would, like, give me ice cubes with Kool-Aid ice cubes. That sort of got me through the day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a science. You know, and you have to trust it because the numbers won't lie to you. So every Sunday, you know, we always go in on an empty stomach. We do our body fat to muscle ratio, and then we review everything that we've done the week before, the eating, the training, the calories that we spent, and we keep trying to. If it's a great week, we try to reproduce the same thing.
Good enough.
So. You know, you got to remember the second fight Duran, and you brought up Duran earlier. He was my favorite fighter. He went on a watermelon diet. You know, for the second fight with Mayweather, with Sugar Ray. So, you know, there's been so many things, so many kind of different things. But the problem is, none of it is science based. None of it has been written about. Nothing has been published about it. So, you know, we have to embrace that part, because if you look at the UFC, you know, most of those guys are collegiate athletes. So they have a basic understanding of how they're supposed to eat, how they're supposed to train. And a lot of the guys that they have around them are very smart and educated and that. So, you know, we have to keep up with that now. And follow that game plan. You know, you got to have a fighter or trainers got to have fighters that you got to be willing to be like a regular mainstream sport. You know, football. You got a defensive coach, you got a line coach, you have all kinds of different guys that have different kinds of specialties. because it would be completely irresponsible and arrogant to think that any conditioning coach knows everything, because we don't.
All right, freeze that thought. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Alex Riz is our guest. You can text me at 415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Come on over here, man. He's been here before. He done broke records here before. He's a legend of the sport. And it'd be my honor to fight him next.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy. And I just do my best.
The Filipino phenom is about a 2-1 underdog. Probably should be a little higher than that, but he is Manny Pacquiao. Before we get into the Pacquiao situation, I want to mention the fact that Colombian heavyweight Bernardo Mercado, he was a tough dude, 32-5. He had like 28 knockouts. He was the real deal, no doubt about that. He fought some tough guys. But he beat Henry Clark. Henry Clark was the California heavyweight champion. Of course, he was Muhammad Ali's sparring partner. He was the guy that went over to Zaire, Africa, and spent his entire purse. He got $15,000 for sparring with Muhammad Ali. So he invested the $15,000 in ivory canes, you know, those ivory tusks from the elephants. So he got these canes. And when he was coming back on the plane, a couple of the canes broke in the luggage department, and he realized they were glass. Bottom line is, Henry lost his 15 Gs. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing, MMA. When you were growing up, you knew who Mercado was, didn't you, Alex?
Mercado, the Brazilian?
No, the Bernardo Mercado, the Colombian heavyweight.
No, you know, I didn't. The only Colombian guys that I knew was El Pantera. Remember, he fought Kelly Pavlik.
Yeah.
And then Storm Alvarez. Those are the only two Colombian boxers that I that were, you know, profiled enough to where I was able to see them.
Okay. Are performance enhancing drugs? I mean, my mother, listen, don't tell anybody, but my mother used to sneak espresso into the dress room for me. Okay. She did.
Yeah.
I mean, and she had it down. Sometimes she had a thermos. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she had it down, man. She did. She had it down. So, I mean, that was my little jolt. I mean, it was my little caffeine jolt.
And it goes a long way. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. Anyway, but the bottom line is, performance-enhancing drugs now are all about anabolic steroids and things like that, and human growth hormone and things like that. Are there legitimate performance-enhancing drugs, and what is a Manny Pack?
What is a Manny Pack?
Yeah, I saw somewhere on the internet you talked about.
Okay, let's get to the first. You know, that way we could straighten it out for your listeners.
All right.
First of all, nobody takes anabolic steroids anymore because what we call the life expectancy of the drug itself is too long term. So you're going to get caught regardless every time because of the just regular testing. What people are doing these days is different. You're right. They're doing the human growth hormone, the EPO, and things like that that are going to obviously help and enhance your performance. I think they're doing a relatively good job. I mean, I've dealt with VADA. I've dealt with USADA. And they're just not, you know, they're paid by the promoters. I mean, I'll give you an example. Maidana, when we fought Mayweather, we were tested 16 times. And then when I ended up working for Mayweather, Mayweather told me that, you know, he paid them to constantly test us and kind of be on us and disrupt our camp. So they're not independent. They're not, you know, they're not impartial. They're, you know, they go wherever the money is.
Okay.
And that's the reality of it.
Okay, here we have Manny Pacquiao.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You're the guest. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, so the Manny Pack was a... Okay, so Terry Tom is a sports dietitian. She works with... she's an RD. You know, she did she's magnum cum laude from UCLA. She did her internship at Cedar Sinai. She's, if not one of the best dietitians for sports... He's worked with me. We've been working together for 12 years. So on Manny Pac, what we did was, at that time, she formulated a supplement program that he was supposed to do every day. And then we got in touch with a pharmaceutical company. But a lot of the things that they were putting inside the fillers, that they were putting inside the vitamins, didn't really sit well with her. So we went to another place called Prevenex, where she was allowed to formulate her own supplements, and they would make them, and that's where the Manny Pac became. But you know, everybody, we gave it to everybody. Amir Khan, Julio Chavez, Linares. We gave it to all the guys.
Okay. You know, I'll admit to cheating one more time. I used to get an IV once in a while during, like, a couple of days before the fight and before the weigh-in, this and that. They would give me an IV. And psychologically, he said it was glucose and vitamin B12 and all that kind of good stuff.
Right,
but but psychologically, it made me feel a little bit better, you know what I'm saying? Because I got to sit down for 45 minutes and chill.
No, not just psychologically, but from a physiological point, you know, you've been sitting there. You have to remember, if you look at the even fighters today, you know, they start wearing plastics, you know, 5, 6, 7 days out before a fight. And even all the IVs and all the vitamin supplements and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to replace those invaluable nutrients and electrolytes in a 24-hour period. After you've been just draining yourself. And I think that's a big reason why we see these kind of fights that really are lackluster, because, you know, they kill themselves all week wearing plastics, drinking a little bit, sips of water here and there, and nobody's getting some real good scientific advice, you know, on the science of exercise and nutrition, and explain to these guys, these kids, how, I mean, this is just, it's awful. I mean, and that was always our, to be honest with you, that was always our advantage over everybody else when I was training Manny. You know, because Manny was small, and in his head, he saw himself as small. But once you explain to them, you know, we're all the same weight when we get on the scales, and everything that we did that gave us an advantage over all the fighters in the past was that we had a very strong, competent strength and conditioning team. You know, myself, Terry, Cody Jones, doctor, and I had a really strong team. I had a great chef. They communicated well, and Manny's rise, you know, was perpetuated by that. But at the same time, you know, there was a fear factor, and that fear factor was because Manny was always fighting bigger, and so he wanted to accept and integrate all these new things because it was making them bigger, it was making them stronger, and more importantly, more confident.
Alex Ariz is our guest. The thing I always come up with is size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. But Manny Pacquiao was always on the smaller side, and believe it or not, a lot of times I'm saying to myself, size matters here. He's going to lose this fight, and he won.
Because of why? Because his conditioning, his volume punching, he was throwing 80 punches around. You know, when he fought Margarito, you know, a guy 2-3 weight classes higher than him, you know, that he was used to, you know, he there was a fear factor. So, I mean, he threw 1,200 punches that night. 1,200. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where your opportunities, like, especially for Manny, because he was just such a volume puncher and explosive. But he had to understand that it was all the stuff that we were doing for him. And, you know, because he's been boxing since he was, what, 8 years old, 9 years old? So doing 17 rounds of mitts isn't really going to, it's not going to put the limits of your conditioning. In other words, you don't want to depend on your boxing session to be piggyback your conditioning. Your conditioning program has to be a completely separate entity of what you're doing in the gym, because what you're doing in the gym, you're sitting there and you're sharpening the tools. You're getting your timing down. You're getting your distance down. You know, you're practicing. You know, it's supposed to be a teaching session. It's not supposed to be, you know, it's not supposed to be your conditioning. Your conditioning comes from your swimming, your track work, your strength work in the gym. Those are all those things that are going to allow you to do what your trainer wants you to do, but do them without the concern of getting tired and gassing out. And if you remember Manny used to, you know, he'd rack off four punches, boom, jump off to the side, and he'd be right back on you, and then right back on you. You know, Manny's averaging 400 punches a fight now, and I think it's just catching up to him, because now you can time him, now you know what you're expecting, and I think that's what caught a hold of him with the Marquez fight.
Oh, yeah, that and the fact that, according to Larry Merchant, my godfather, retired HBO godfather, of course, he's on the disabled list right now. He lost his voice. But Marquez had new muscles for that fight.
Yeah. Listen, we can't.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I always tell. You know, Manny weighed in at 148 pounds for that fight, and Marquez weighed in at 143. But you could see the size difference. And the two, and Manny told me he was big, and I was, you know, I pushed my agenda. I mean, if you watch that 24/7, I pushed my agenda so hard, and I'm like, Manny, he's doing everything. You know, Memo and I, you know, we have the same kind of background. Our systems are different, but we both have our degrees in exercise and nutritional science. So, you know, Memo knew what he was doing, and it was only a matter of time. I mean, if you throw a dart at a bullseye, you know, 100 times, eventually you're going to hit that bullseye.
Okay.
So Freddie didn't want any strength and conditioning for that camp. He just wanted to focus on boxing. And I think, you know, it is what it is, but he made it more about the competition between him and Nacho Beristain. But what they didn't see is all the work that Memo Heredia was doing with Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what people forget is that Marquez hit Manny with a right hand in the third round that put him down for the first time, like that. And at that time, you realized exactly that, you know, Marquez was a different fighter.
He had new, according to Larry Merchant, he had new muscles. Okay, that was a joke. Anyway, but the bottom line is we have a big fight coming up. Earl Spence and Manny Pacquiao, of course, your former charge now. Manny Pacquiao moving up in weight. The size matter here is going to be a walk. Or
absolutely. I'll be honest with you. I know Errol Spence, good kid, great kid. He is going to be, he's probably the toughest opponent that Manny has ever faced. He's a volume puncher. He doesn't get tired. He's got great defense. He knows distance. He has great time. Mikey, I mean, if you watch the fight with Mikey, and Mikey's probably one of the most technical boxers that are out there. And he couldn't find a spot to where he felt comfortable, because he was getting dominated on the outside from Errol, and he was getting dominated on the inside. So he was stuck. He didn't, you know, they didn't know where to put him. You can't put him on the inside because he was losing that battle. You can't put him on the outside because you're losing that battle. But when you talk about an overall athlete that, like, or an Errol Spence, I mean, this is a guy who spars with heavyweights sometimes. I mean, he's exceptionally big for his size. He's a volume puncher, great conditioning. He's a good chin. So, I mean, I would have expected Manny to really take his training to the next level. And unless they're doing it, we don't get to see it. But all I see is him doing the same thing that he did before. And that's not going to cut it with a guy like Errol Spence.
The great Alex Ariza, Superman, we thank you for your time. My listeners are going to love this, both delayed and live. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Anytime, brother. I appreciate you guys having me.
The great Alex Ariza, trainer extraordinaire, the Superman of trainers, no doubt about that. Look at his record, folks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.